Have a great time. I can only say we for half of the weekend, but there was a wonderful time this weekend, a prayer seminar experience in getting to know more of how the Lord works through His Holy Spirit to speak to us and to empower us and to heal us. And I'm really grateful for the chance to have been a part of half of that weekend, and hopefully you can hear from people who were there to get more information and more inspiration if you were not able to be there. So there was a wealthy businessman who was very, very sick, and it looked like he was on his deathbed. His friend went to visit him in the hospital and prayed for him. And this wealthy man said to his friend, "You know, if God heals me, I will give back to the Lord $1 million. Well, sure enough, the man was healed, and he was released from the hospital. And a few weeks after he was released from the hospital, he's walking down the street, and his friend who had prayed for him came across his path, and the businessman shared the great news with his friend of the healing, the miraculous recovery, and so the friend says to the wealthy businessman, "You know, when you were on your deathbed, you promised that if God healed you, you would return to Him $1 million. And the wealthy businessman said, "Wow, I was really sick." Well, sometimes it is easy to forget the amazing, powerful, love-motivated work that the Lord does in our lives. And I pray that He would help us to never, ever let that flame, that glow of enthusiastic gratitude dim, because He has blessed us. He has given us of His best. And it is for the sake of His glory and for the sake of other people being built up and encouraged that God has given us some good news to share with others. Let's read from James chapter 5, verses 13 through 18. "Is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Elijah was a human being, even as we are. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops." I don't know about you, but this passage provokes some questions for me. And so that's kind of where we're going to go. We're going to ask some questions and see how the Lord might answer through His Word these questions that arise out of this passage. The first question is, talking about healing, what is healing? What is it? What does that mean that the person will be healed? The word used in this passage in the original language for heal or healed is, or raised up, is a word that means safe. It means to save, to deliver, to protect, literally or figuratively, to heal, to preserve, to do well, to make whole, or to be made whole. The word is sozo, S-O-Z-O. And to make it more complicated, it's pronounced sozo. And not sure why. I don't know the language that well. But this is a word that means so many things, but it is the word of healing. And one thing that I have to say at this point is that there is nothing so-so about sozo. I'm sorry I had to say that, but I couldn't think if I didn't. We can make these mighty works of God so-so. They fade away. They dim in the power of them, the love behind them. There is nothing at all so-so about sozo. In 2 Samuel 22, verses 1 through 3, we read these words. David saying to the Lord the words of this song, when the Lord delivered him, that's part of this word, from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. He said, "The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation. He is my stronghold, my refuge, and my savior. From violent people you save me." What an image. Great word pictures here. The Lord is my rock. That means he's the one that we can stand on, the one that maybe will stand amidst all the storms, the one we can trust in, my fortress, the one who is about me, around me, who keeps me safe and strong. He is my deliverer. It's interesting. He's moving from inanimate objects, rock, fortress, to a person, a deliverer, who, when David was out being pursued by Saul, the Lord went out to him to get him and to help him and to bring him to the place of safety. The Lord not only brings us to his place of safety, protection, and strength, he goes out when we're vulnerable. He goes out when we're lost. He goes out when we're broken. And he brings us to this place. I think that all the things that sozo is, there can be a functional definition. And that is that sozo can be seen in what Jesus did as he walked on the face of this earth. In Luke chapter 4, verses 17 through 21, early in his ministry, he went into his hometown and he spoke in the synagogue there and he said these words, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. He began by saying to them, today, today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. This Jesus went out and he brought healing. He healed every kind of physical disease. He healed those who were disenfranchised, cut off from others, culturally maligned because of their sickness. He healed even the dead. He gave people back their dead. He fed the hungry. He raised up an army, the body of Christ, to serve him after he left this earth, to continue his work in the body of Christ that he began in his body as he walked on the face of this earth. The word sozo is about wholeness. Body, soul, and spirit. The power of the Lord touching the body, the soul, and the spirit, and bringing the wholeness of the life of the Lord. At the end of the message today, we're going to have a sozo seso. What that means is this. By the way, there are so many different aspects of sozo, of what the Lord has done to deliver us physically, spiritually, relationally. But I'd like to focus on this one, on physical diseases. And I'm not sure if anybody's going to say anything, but I want to give people an opportunity to say something. I'm going to have a microphone, and I'm going to go out and just, if you raise your hand, I'm just going to come to you, and you can just say whatever your name is, and just say, the Lord, I believe, healed me of blah, blah, or someone I love of whatever. So it's you, or it's someone that you know personally that you love, whom the Lord has healed of a physical disease. And parenthetical statement, I believe that biblically, all healing comes from the Lord. So if I go to the doctor and I have a surgery and I am healed through that, I believe that comes from the Lord. And I celebrate that. I celebrate the relief that that might bring, or the help that that might bring. And I'm not saying that is any less of healing than anything else, but for the sake of giving glory to the Lord, and for the sake of helping us in our unbelief, because I'm just going to say we all have unbelief about this. It would be something which was not medically expected. It was not a result of medical treatment, but something that seems like God intervened in a way apart from medicine. And again, please hear me. I believe God, he heals in all of the medicine as well. But this just, I think you've got it. So we're going to, if you want to say something later, you don't have to say much, just your name and someone you know, or you, there's been a physical healing, and we're going to say so and give him glory. So who is this one who heals? We need to be careful in this passage, because doesn't it say that the prayer offered in faith will cause this person to be healed? Okay. Well, the prayers are part of it, but it says the Lord will raise this one up. The Lord will bring the healing. The Lord is who heals. No one else but the Lord heals. Don't attach healing to some person who has been gifted in the ministry of healing. It's not the person, it's the Lord. The Lord heals. The Lord will raise them up. This is the Lord who said to his first followers, the one who has seen me, Jesus said, has seen my Father. Jesus revealed his Father in the acts that he did in healing. Jesus said, I only do what I see my Father doing. Do you want to know the Father's heart? Well, look at what Jesus did to heal people. That was what the Father was doing. That's what Jesus got with. That is the heart of the Father for healing. We read in John 1 that Jesus is the Word of God made flesh. He is the message of God. He is the truth of God in the flesh. So if you want to know what the will of God is, look at what Jesus did. That is the will of God in the flesh. This one who heals. This one who heals. What is his heart? This one who heals could have come with one kind of vengeance. He could have come to get us. Not in a good way, not to deliver us, but to punish us. He could have come to strike us. He could have come to give us what we deserve. He could have done that. That could have been his decision because he's God. He can do whatever he wants. But he chose to come with another vengeance, this one who heals. He came with a vengeance to be against all that is against his kingdom. Just like when David prayed about deliverance from his enemies, he was talking about enemies of the kingdom of God. Now, as Jesus comes as our king, he is showing us that he is against all of the enemies against his kingdom, all that is against his life, his best for us. He is against, and he's taking action against it. Every enemy, he's come with a vengeance against all that is against us. That is his heart. This healer, he is the power of creation. The Bible says that he was involved in creation. You can't get more powerful than that. There is no power apart from him. There is no power comparable to him. This is the one we see who heals. We read of his history, his story in the gospel accounts. Healed the sick, the lowliest of the lowly. He healed. He fed the hungry. He loved the lonely. He brought wholeness to the broken. He delivered the demonized. He raised the dead. We read that this was all about his kingdom advance, his agenda to advance his life and destroy the works of the devil against his life. This was all the revelation of his glory. And under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, John writes this in John chapter 1. But wow, I wonder when he was writing this, what was going through his heart and his mind because of all that he saw and heard of Jesus. He got to be with Jesus in the flesh. He touched him. He heard his voice. He was there. He was right there. And he saw all of this. And I wonder what was going on related to all that he had seen when he wrote under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. We have seen his glory. The glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father full of grace and truth. Wow. Wow. This is the healer. He's the same healer today that he was then. Please don't listen to what goes on inside of you. If anything goes on inside of you, like goes inside of me, like he doesn't do that anymore. Don't listen to people who might try to say, twisting this around, that this book says he doesn't do this anymore. There's nothing credible to be found in this book that says he doesn't do this anymore. People who come to that conclusion have to go through so many gymnastics, so much twisting. He does this today. He is the same. We have a role. He's given us a role. What is our role in healing? Well, we can ask, we can confess, we can pray. Those are the operative words that we can see in the passage from James chapter 5. If we're sick, if we are sick, call the elders. Call the elders of the church to come and pray. If we're sick, reach out. It doesn't explicitly say what elders are in this passage. So let's just say, if you're sick, reach out to God's people. Reach out and ask them to pray for you. It's humbling, isn't it? But it's part of what we're to do is ask. Ask others to pray for us. And then, interesting, it says, confess our sins to each other. Well, why? Why does it say that? It doesn't say why it says that. Let's be honest. If you read that passage, it doesn't say why confess your sins to each other. It does say that somehow in this process of healing, that confession is a good thing related to what God is doing in healing. We need to be really, really, really careful here. First of all, it's very tempting for us, if we're sick, to attribute that to our own sin. Like, somehow I deserve this. Well, okay, first of all, yes, you did. We all did, because we sinned. We've all sinned. We have all sinned. That's what the Bible says. Maybe you disagree, and then I don't know what to say. But we've all sinned. We've all sinned. And maybe confessing our sin, if we truly have not yet confessed a sin, maybe there's a good thing in that related to healing. That's not what this passage says, but maybe. When Jesus was walking on the face of this earth, a common thought about sickness was that a person was sick because of their sin. If we look at the whole of Scripture, the Bible will help us understand that there is sickness in this world because of sin in this world. But every person who is sick is not sick because of their specific sin. It's always a good thing to confess our sin, isn't it? Isn't it good to be right with God and tell him the truth? When we receive Jesus Christ as our Savior, we receive full forgiveness of all of our sin of all time. That's what the Bible says. So confessing our sin does not get us saved, okay? After we've become Christians, after we've become believers. But it is a thing that is healthy for our relationship with the Lord. It cleanses our relationship with the Lord. It brings a rightness to it. Just like our relationship with other people, if we hurt them, to confess to them. in Ephesians chapter 4, we read about some hostility that can happen between believers in Jesus Christ and the body of Christ. And it seems to implicate there that when we are at each other, that it grieves the Holy Spirit. And so possibly this confessing our sins to each other might be related to health in the body of Christ and a way in which once we get right with each other, there's a way in which the Lord comes in and brings healing in that. That's not explicitly said in this passage. But it's a good thing to do, right? To be right with each other. If we've hurt someone, to tell them the truth about it. But be clear. Be so clear. Jesus has forgiven us if we're his followers, if he is our Savior. He's forgiven us of all of our sins. We are totally forever forgiven. We couldn't be more forgiven. So there's no need, if you've acknowledged your sin before the Lord, to say it again and again and again and again. I'm sick, I must be sinning, blah, blah, blah. Thank the Lord that he's forgiven you of all of your sin. The third word here is pray. Pray for those who are sick. They'll be healed. It's expected. It happens. Pray. We are to pray continually for those who need healing. We are to be a community pursuing healing. The first followers were, isn't this interesting? Jesus is sending out his followers to serve him on a mission. What does he do? He gives them power and authority to heal the sick and to cast out demons in his name. How about that? Doesn't that say that maybe that's part of what we do as believers in Jesus Christ now? Why would he have changed that? Why would he have the first followers do one thing and then we do something completely different? I don't know why. He said his followers would do greater works than he did. He sent his Holy Spirit to empower his people with gifts of healing to be shared. Him working through our prayer to heal others. We're to be a community pursuing healing. Doesn't it seem like when we read from what James wrote that this is just how it is? This is expected. This is who we are. This is how we roll. We pray for healing. We ask for healing. Healing's a part of life with Jesus. Dr. Wilbur Chapman was a famous evangelist, and he observed that in the New Testament, there were 40 people, each suffering from some disease, who were healed by Jesus, or the same disease, healed by Jesus. Of this number, 34 were either brought to Jesus by friends, or he was taken to them. Almost everybody was either brought to Jesus by a friend, or the friend went and got Jesus and brought him to them. A community of healing, bringing people to Jesus, the healer. So how do we pray in this community of healing? In this passage, in James, it talks about anointing with oil. Anoint with oil and pray. Those are two actions that seem to be there for being part of this healing community, it's important to know about what oil meant to these folks as they heard this instruction. In their time, oil that's referred to here was used medicinally. It was used in a number of different illnesses, in a number of different ways. But oil was connected with medicine that brought healing. Spiritually, oil was also used in consecration to the Lord. It was used to anoint priests or rulers, or pouring over one's head and giving oneself over to the Lord. It may be, we don't have the reason given here. Why anoint with oil? It doesn't say that. It just says do it. It seems like the early believers, early followers of Jesus, may have kind of combined the symbolic medicinal use with the symbol of handing one over to the Holy Spirit for healing with the anointing of oil. Lord, here's this person, and put the oil on, and in that, it's a physical expression of a prayer. Lord, have this person's sickness, cover it, heal it. Again, it doesn't say that explicitly in this passage, but those are some possibilities. But please note that there's nothing magical about the oil. No magic. There are so many times when Jesus prayed and when other believers prayed without using the oil, and people were healed. But let's understand what oil could do is help some of us who are helped by this kind of thing in a tangible way recognize the presence of the Lord and the power of the Lord that this oil could represent. It's not magic. It has no power. But God can use it to help people connect with the truth of Him and His power. And this is it talks about the prayer of faith, the prayer with faith. Another important but dangerous area. Biblically, we read about in the New Testament the gift of faith. The gift of faith that comes from the Holy Spirit. It helps us believe what we do not see can be true. Perhaps he was using Elijah as an example. Do you think Elijah just made it up that Israel, there wasn't going to be any rain in Israel for 3.5 years, and then he was going to risk his life on that statement? Hey, it's not going to rain for 3.5 years, so King, here's how things are going to go in Israel. There's going to be drought. It's going to be dry. Would he risk his life on just something he made up? Did he just it's going to not rain. I know it's not going to rain. I just know that. I just know it. I know it where I know it. If we read the Bible, the Lord spoke to him and told him. Faith is gifting by the Holy Spirit based on revelation from God. Not what we conjure up, not what we make up. So if someone is sick, if I'm sick, My healing isn't dependent on what I conjure up of faith. It's not. It is not based on what I come up with to believe. Faith that we're talking about associated with the miraculous healing of God is a gift. It is a gift from the Holy Spirit. It's not what I do. If I'm praying for someone, I can relax. I don't have to conjure up faith to pray. I don't have to do that. I don't have to work myself into some emotional state or mental state or follow all these things and then I've got faith to pray. If there's going to be faith, there's going to be God making it clear that what he's going to do, and he's going to give me faith. I can't do it without him. None of us can do this without him. It's his work. Relax. Relax. Enjoy. Expect. He'll do it. He can do it. My favorite model prayer is the prayer that the Father prayed when he was asking Jesus to set his child free from the work of a demon. This father so wanted his child to be free and to be healed. And he brought him to Jesus. And Jesus said, if you believe, he'll be well. He'll be healed. And the man prayed a great prayer. I believe, help my unbelief. Help my unbelief. I think that was an expression of belief, to say, help my unbelief. Saying, get everything out of the way, Jesus. Here's what I can do. That's what I got. This is my belief. I'm expressing to you my unbelief. But you can help my unbelief. You can do it. I can't, but you can do it. You can help my unbelief. And so, Jesus didn't heal the boy because the man didn't believe enough. I'm kidding. Okay, sorry. The reason I said that is because I can't find anywhere in Scripture, I can't, where Jesus held back his healing because someone didn't believe. He corrected unbelief. He corrected lack of faith, doubt. He corrected it. But I don't know anywhere where he said, oh, you're not doing it right. I am out of here. I'm leaving. I'm pretty sure that everybody that was brought to him, he healed. That's what he did. Finally, we pray with love. I think if we take a close look at Scripture, that we see that everything is in there for a reason, and everything is in every book in the way it's in every book for a reason. And I think it's really evident that 1 Corinthians 13 is between 1 Corinthians 12 and 1 Corinthians 14. 1 Corinthians 12 and 14 are the places where it talks about the power of God through the gifts of the Holy Spirit. But 1 Corinthians 13, it says, this is the greatest, the most excellent way. This is it. Love. It's like love, the love of Christ is the context, the environment for the expression of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, for the gift of healing. Love is the environment. numerous times when we read about Jesus healing, before he heals, it says that he was moved with compassion. And I've talked a lot about that word. It's one of my favorite words in the Bible. But just real quick, the only person that is described as having compassion in the New Testament, this kind of compassion, is Jesus or someone who represents God in a story or a parable. This is God's heart. This is God's broken heart for broken people, for people who are sick, for people who are hungry, for people who are needy, for people who are like a sheep without a shepherd. This is what is the heart of God. This is God's heart. Compassion, a broken heart, but not just a broken heart in a crying in the corner because of the broken heart. A compassionate, broken heart that then expresses itself in the action to alleviate the need that caused the compassion. Jesus sees a man with leprosy at his feet, clutching his leg. He's moved with compassion, and he heals the man. He looks at a crowd, sees them harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd, and he's moved with compassion, and he heals, and he teaches, and he helps them. So, compassion is the love of Christ expressed with the broken heart of Christ that moves him to act, to alleviate the need. So we pray with, by God's grace, the love of Christ. We need his help with that as well. We pray by his grace with the compassion of Jesus. We need his help to give us that heart. We do not pray with manipulation, trying to get someone to say something, do something, act a certain way. No blaming. It's his fault, her fault, your fault, my fault. No condemnation. If you hadn't done this, then this would not have happened. You wouldn't be sick. If you would have faith, then you would be well. No condemnation. Only love, expressing the truth of who our Savior is, what his heart is, and what his provision is. That's how we pray. Sozo. Let's have a sozo say so. So, if you'd like to say something, your name, a way in which you believe the Lord has healed you, or someone you love, just raise your hand. I'll come to you.
My husband was making medical history by having a third bone marrow transplant, so the elders at Central College had a healing service for him, and they anointed him with oil. He, too, was an elder. And he faced that bone marrow, that third bone marrow transplant, and with God's healing grace, he was able to see all three children graduate, get married, and he met all of his grandchildren.
Beautiful. Thank you, Lord. Is that you?
It's kind of ironic that this topic is approaching today because I came to church very late today. There's a young girl. Her name is Courtney Hodges Carr. You guys, some of you may be familiar with her. She's 30. I met her through my line at Myers, so it was like a two-minute intervention. And in that time, I saw she was pregnant, and I always approach pregnant people, whatever. And I don't know how that got into in a two-minute conversation, but she told me to follow her, Courtney's journey, on Mindy Dreyer's Channel 4 News. And I just knew. I hugged her, and I loved her. And after I got to looking at her journey, I realized that she had devoted her life to childhood cancer, and she was a very big health advocate. And at 29, when she got the diagnosis that she had a very rare blood cancer, she was just devastated. She thought her life was literally over. So as I talked to her that day, she just asked me, would I pray for her bundle? And I said, yes, I will, definitely. And she just kind of quickly shared, I don't think I'll make it, but I want my bundle to live. And anyway, the long story of it all is, when I looked on her blog, my son Tyler had went to school with her, but that was just a coincidence from God. But I knew that my heart, I mean, I've been through a lot of downs, but my heart for this woman was immense. And my prayers were simple, but they were so earnest. But today, Channel 4 News hosted her, and I had to wait because I had to see it. And everybody said, aren't you going to church? And I said, well, this to me is more important. And she told on live TV, it was against every doctor's recommendation that she stop her chemo. It was against every doctor's recommendation that she ever have a child. But she married her sweetheart from a lot of years. And, of course, she did get pregnant before she married him, but she had stopped the chemo. She got pregnant. She had a beautiful boy named Paxson last Friday. He is gorgeous, 100% perfect. And her numbers, I don't know all about that, but her numbers are amazing. So she really now knows she may get to spend 5 years, 10, we don't know, but it's an amazing miracle, and I'm so excited for her.
Thank you.
April 9th and June 30th, Barb, my wife, my beautiful wife of 50 years, had a stroke and then another stroke. And for us to say that we've witnessed so many miracles since then is putting it mildly. And I would just say that the Lord does work and does provide miracles. Some of them are small, some of them are huge. And when you get a chance, you should praise him for it.
Thank you. It's great.
When I was a teenager, my sister's 7 years older than I am, and I think she was about 23 years old, and her stomach kept getting larger and larger, and she couldn't figure out why, and she'd do a whole bunch of sit-ups and wouldn't go down, and it turned out that she had an 11-pound tumor on her ovary, and it was the size of a football, and so she had that surgery at 23 years old, and they tested it, and they said that she had a type of cancer called dysgerminoma. And I'll never forget that, because just waiting in the waiting room to find out the results. And as a young person, just not, my whole world was shaken. But my sister had just recently come back to Jesus and had people all over the world praying for her. And the doctors went to, you know, figure out what kind of chemotherapy she would go through, and they were examining the cells of the cancer cells, and they said the cells had completely changed form and size, and my sister was healed, and she still goes every 6 months to be checked, and they just call her the miracle lady when she comes in, because she's never had any treatment, so it's kind of cool. And then on top of that, they said she probably wouldn't have a child. Her chances would be very slim. And my daughter, my sister has a daughter who's 12 years old. So
nice. Thank you so much. This will be the last one for today.
So since my son's home from college, I'll embarrass him this morning. It's a good embarrassment, though. 19 years ago, a little over 19 years ago, some of you were here, but many of you weren't, so I'll just share quickly what happened. Beth went in for a routine check at 20 weeks when she was pregnant with Sam, and we discovered many problems, chief of which was that he was very undersized. And they put her on bed rest immediately. And around 30 weeks or so, so she'd been in the hospital for 10 weeks, we had our small group come into the hospital on a Saturday night and praise the Lord and prayed for her. And I don't know if there are anybody here. There was the Schmitz and the Nagleys, and it was just a wonderful time, and anointed her with oil and prayed specific prayers for weight gain for Sam and the amniotic fluid levels to stabilize and things like that. And she went in, so this was a Saturday night, and she went in on a Monday morning. He gained over 2 pounds from that Saturday to the Monday morning.
Wow.
Everything stabilized. They couldn't believe it. And he was born at 38 weeks, almost full term, a little over 5 pounds, nice. But fully healthy. So I'm here to tell you today that God does heal. Mm. He does heal. We have experienced it. So if you don't believe, come talk to us. Or talk to one of these other people. He does heal. Praise the Lord.
Thank you. Would you stand with me? I encourage you to just be still, be quiet, relax. And maybe speak to the Holy Spirit. Ask him to speak to you. Ask him to make you a person who pursues healing for you and for others, for his glory, for his kingdom. We every week have prayer after worship for people who are in need of whatever, and sometimes that's healing. Please know that today, if you would like to receive prayer, there will be people to pray for you, or maybe a loved one. May God make us to be a people who pursue him and his kingdom coming through the ministry of healing. Praise the Lord, my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. Praise the Lord. My soul.